Well, I'm Buddy Martin. Welcome to the best Fridays in football with Urban Meyer and Terry Bradshaw on the Evergreen Podcast Network. Later, we'll talk with Terry about the NFL wildcard weekend. But right now, let's talk to the guy who has a bit of a stake in Monday night's national championship game between Alabama and Ohio State. Hello, Coach.
Hi, buddy. Great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. And I was thinking about you today. We were preparing for this, thinking, what if you had not stepped down as a Buckeyes coach and you'd be playing for your fourth national championship? Wow. That's amazing, given that only one guy's won a whole bunch of them and nobody's in this league, and that would be Nick Saban. So he's got a chance to get another one. I think it's seven for him. I know you haven't spent a lot of time thinking about that, but what if you could be playing for a national championship Monday night?
Well, I think it's everyone's dream in the coaching profession is to leave a place very strong and leave it with someone that, you know, you handpick. You know, Ryan Day was a guy that I hired. You know, he's a guy that actually was in the NFL and got their staffs got fired 2 years in a row when I hired him. A lot of people ask why, you know, why does this guy, you know, everything gets scrutinized. And I said, well, you know, obviously that's my choice. And I knew him from a GA actually at Florida years ago. And I saw how elite he was. He embraced the culture at Ohio State that we developed, embraced the rivalry game, and then all those great people. I think it's the best infrastructure in college sports, the Ohio State infrastructure. And all those people, you know, like Bob Stoops did it. He was one of the first guys to do it his way. And that was, he found the right successor. It was very important to him, you know, to carry on and have those great people not lose his jobs, et cetera, et cetera. So I was going to maybe go another couple of years, but I felt it was time because the cupboard was a lot of great players, had an elite coach, and I knew they could even get stronger.
Well, it sure was a great handoff. Talk about Ryan Day's days as a GA. What was he like? What did you see?
Well, he was Dan Mullen. Actually, ironically, Dan Mullen and him and Chip Kelly are from within 20 miles of each other in New Hampshire. The great old coaching. So Dan's the one that brought him in, and I could tell right away he was a great worker. And then I followed his progress. He went to work with Steve Adazio at Temple and Boston College, and then he went with Chip Kelly in the pros. And I visited one at Boston College, and I also, when he was coaching Tim Tebow at Eagles, I went and spent a little time with him and just really impressed with him. And we followed each other. We stayed in touch. And, you know, when they got fired at the San Francisco 49ers, I thought I saw a great opportunity to come in. And, you know, he wasn't the coordinator. He was a co-coordinator and Kevin Wilson. But I could tell right away that this guy was unique.
Who knew that New Hampshire would be the cradle of coaching? I thought it was Miami of Ohio. You know, it turns out these guys were amazing. Not a coincidence, probably. So, good story there. Well, let's talk about the national championship game. And without giving away military secrets, how is the health of Justin Fields as far as you can tell?
My understanding is he's sore, but he's good to go. I'm very close to that situation because the quarterback coach is my son-in-law and he's a great coach. And I talk to Ryan quite frequently. So they'll be, you know, they've had some COVID issues, but they're getting ready to go play this game and go try to win a national title.
I was so impressed with Justin Fields and the way he played last time out, what resolve he had, the toughness he showed, the way he played the game. I mean, that shot of him limping off the field after the hit, and coming back on the field to finish the job, I think his stock went way up with a lot of people. I know the young man had a record of great character and is an excellent player, but he played another level in that game, and now I think this is a different football team with him playing the way he is, unless he's hurt.
Yeah, his stock went through the ceiling. You know, he has an incredible skill set. I tell him he's Dwayne Haskins, which is in a very – as accurate a quarterback as I've ever had. Great arm, great accuracy. And then Braxton Miller, which is one of the best athletes I've ever coached a quarterback. And he's a combination of both. He's a 4.3 40. He's got great lower body strength, extremely accurate. He had a couple bad games just because, you know, they lost their best receiver for one game because of COVID. But his game and that, you know, his value to me shot through the ceiling because I've always, you know, I never look for a particular size. I don't really look for a particular arm strength. I look for qualities of an elite competitor or toughness, a quarterback. That guy better be your toughest guy. And all the challenges that, you know, people were critical of Chris Leak. The one thing Chris Leak was, in his own way, he was a tough guy in the weight room. He worked really, one of the hardest workers on the team. And obviously Tim Tebow took it to the next level. You know, JT Barrett, Cardale Jones, Alex Smith, all those guys, different shapes, sizes, backgrounds, yet they all had those two qualities. And that was the elite competitor. The refuse to lose mentality and a warrior or a tough guy. And Justin Fields has done nothing but shown that since the beginning of this year.
Wow, listen to that list. You know, the guys that you've had, starting back in Utah, starting Bowling Green, Utah, and on this particular group of quarterbacks now that you are your legacy, they've had some championships. And you can talk about the game and about how good you are in the stats. But as we found out, even looking at the Heisman Trophy race this year, which hurt Kyle Trask, it's about winning games. And the fact that Florida lost three in a row, albeit they played Alabama well, did not help his Heisman championship, his Heisman Trophy possibilities. But the guy had a great season. Just important message, and you said this all along, and you repeat it, and the great coaches do, win the games, and those awards take care of themselves.
Well, there's a reason why Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time and unchallenged. He's a winner. And you look right now, and this is interesting, I did a little study, is all the great quarterbacks in the NFL right now maybe don't fit the skill set that everyone goes look for. That's why I used to get extremely upset with our coaches. And if I want a 6'4" guy that throws a, you know, really great accuracy and great arm strength and runs, okay, good luck finding a guy. How about finding the best competitor out there? You know, Russell Wilson doesn't fit any category other than toughness and character and leadership. You know, you look at Drew Brees. Drew Brees was with the Chargers, and they decided to let him go, you know, because they maybe didn't fit their skill set. I just get so upset when I hear that. The heck with skill set. How about those qualities that you better have at that position? And Tom Brady is Tom Brady was a sixth round draft pick out of from the Wolverines. So he certainly didn't have the skill set that overwhelmed people. You know what Tom Brady is? He's a man. He's a competitor. He's a tough guy. He's a leader. And those are all the things that you look for in a quarterback. Mac Jones is that out of Jacksonville Bulls. And there's no surprise that when you see those teams in the national championship, they have those qualities. They're all different sizes, all different speeds. But those two qualities, three qualities that we look for, and that's why, I get really upset when I see people, you know, first of all, they really have no idea what they're talking about when they start evaluating quarterbacks. Well, he's too short. Oh, is that? He's too short. You know, Tim Tebow has too long of a delivery. Okay, he's got a long delivery. I get that. But on fourth down and one, I know who I want. And I want leading the team.
Very interesting that you chose to talk about Tom Brady today, because later on in the program, we're going to hear from Terry Bradshaw, who talks about just that very thing, how Tom Brady evolved from that six-round draft pick and became the greatest quarterback of all time. You like to hear those stories because, as you know, and you always preach and you do, development is very important of a quarterback, and it takes time sometimes. So it's interesting to see how this plays out. But certainly, Ohio State's got a good one. And by the way, as you point out, Alabama's got a pretty good one, too, in Jones. So we'll see how that plays out. You start getting butterflies about game time on Monday night?
Yeah, I do, because I'm invested in that program. I still get butterflies when the Gators played against Alabama. You know, when you spend a lot of time at a place and a lot of effort, and you're so close with the coaching staff and so many of the fans, I'll be tied up. Not like if I had the headset on, but I think they'll perform very well.
Certainly are playing well right now. Should be a terrific game. Speaking of which, the Gators, Dan Mullen seems to have a lot of things going on these days. A lot of questions down here on my show. I've had a number of questions. A lot of people, there's been pro and con and people making lists of coaches. And, of course, the majority of the people love Dan and want him to stay here. And there's that talk out there, as you know, how it goes in the off season. So I guess the question is, people are wondering what's going on with Dan Mullen. Do you have any clues?
other than that, the I'm not quite sure the question.
Let me be specific. Be specific about it. And again, I don't get too wrapped up in fans' comments and questions, but there seems to be an unusual number of people concerned and worried about their coach and losing their coach and about some of the things that have happened over the past couple of games. Because, you know, really only 6, 7, 8 weeks ago, it was like a love story between Dan Mullen and the Florida Gators. And they still love him in many ways. But because of the, and you can't control these because you have it all the time, you get the stories about the NFL calling, and you get the stories about the NCAA probation. You get people want Dan to come out and say, I'm a Gator, I'll always be a Gator, and he's not going to do that because no coach would. I think it's the confusion and the worry that after losing 3 games, the program will lose some momentum. They've had a really good year. Beating Georgia was a huge milestone. And I think they're worried about their coach. But fans want loyalty oaths, you know? They think they own you. You know that. If you leave Florida, which you did, which Spurrier did, sometimes a certain segment turns on you. So I guess I'm wondering if you have any idea, excuse me, where Dan's head is regarding his future coaching and if you think it might be in the NFL and do you think he's a guy that would fit well in the NFL?
Well, Dan is like a brother to me, and so I'm very close. I've not talked with him in detail about that. So he was distraught, like all of great competitors get distraught over loss, and there is you feel an obligation to the fan base of the Gators or the Buckeyes, or you do. And so a lot of teams don't, a lot of people don't. Dan does. I did. I felt when we lost the game, I felt we let people down. And I mean, you remember that. It destroyed me. We lost that Alabama game, and that was like a punch to the jaw that I had a hard time getting off the canvas. And it wasn't because of me. It was because I personally felt like I let the Gator Nation down and felt left my players down. And I guess great coaches, the commonality of a great coach is they care deeply for their players and they actually care deeply for their university. And Dan has that. So I know he loves Florida. Are you kidding me? It's one of the top 5 jobs in America. There is an incredible amount of pressure and expectation, but no one puts a gun to your head and says you need to be the coach here. And I've shared that, I wasn't quite ready for that when I got to Florida. I was so young and, I didn't understand the FCC. I didn't understand Gator Nation. To say I did, I watched Steve Spurrier. That's all I knew about Gator Nation. And then you get into it and you fall in love with Jeremy Foley, the Dr. Matchin, the fans, the swamp. And then it becomes, you start winning. And I would always, Mac Brown told me this one time, buddy. He said, I got good news and bad news. Good news is you won a national championship. Bad news is you won a national championship. That means that became my life, Gator Nation's life, after that day. That when we won in 06, that was the only thing that was acceptable. And I woke up every day with that noose around your neck, or that, I should say that, just the weight of the world on you about winning a national title. SEC wasn't good enough. You got to win it all. And then we won it all in 08. And I remember I was in a well-documented. I'm in the locker room, closed the door, and I'm texting and calling recruits. They're out there celebrating because I was already worried about the next one. So I know Dan, to answer your question, he's very happy, loves Florida. I don't think there's any intent on him to leave whatsoever. I don't know where – I don't read – I guess one of the good things I've learned to do, too, I don't really read anything, to be honest with you, buddy. I just kind of go about my business.
Understood. And I think a lot of us feel about the world today is that we don't want to see the news at nighttime. But I know you had a great joy there, and I followed you very closely. And I remember the days. I remember one day when you walk off the field up into the stands and we're talking, and you just said, wow, it's such a great place to be here at the Swamp. And what a great feeling it is to look out and see this place. And I know you loved it. But things do happen. Circumstances change. You are not a good loser. I mean, that's for sure. You ate your guts out when you lost the game. I know that. And that's, as you say, that's a commonality. It's great when it's going well, but boy, it's tough when you lose. And losing 3 in a row. Urban, did you lose 3 in a row 1 year? I don't think you did. Did you? Your first year in Florida?
I think I did. No, my last year.
The last year.
Okay. We did. We lost. Remember, we lost our 2 kickers, and we had a punter playing kicker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mississippi State, and then we lost to LSU on that fluke play.
Yeah.
I think I try not to go go back to those losses very often.
I'm sure you don't. And you don't have that many to go back to, by the way. So you're very fortunate in that regard. You've been a tremendously successful coach, and that's why your name comes up for every single job now these days. I even had someone last night say, well, Dan leaves, let's call Urban. So it's nice to be thought of that way, huh? Okay, speaking of coaches, Steve Sarkisian to Texas.
Yeah, I think he was the hot name. You know, he was a guy that had some very serious off-field issues that are well-documented. I'm one of those guys, like, I've always taken the approach that there's greatness in everyone. And so if someone's going through a hard time, you know, does people deserve a second chance or a third chance? Of course they do. And that's exactly what's been given to him. So all the prayers for him, all the best for him. He's certainly one of the best football minds. You know, I heard someone being critical saying, you know, who can't call an offense with three Heisman Trophy candidates with that talent? And it's not that easy. I mean, everyone's given your best shot. We've been down that road. I had some of the most talented teams too. And you still got management of personalities. You got to make sure everyone's getting the ball. You got to make sure. So it's not that easy. And I thought he's done a brilliant job. And Texas, obviously, another top five opportunity.
Be interesting to see what can happen there because they've chewed up a few coaches lately. It's a tough place, like a lot of places with, as you say, a top-notch job. Just a quick thought on the NFL, if you have any. I know you don't get pay a lot of attention to it, although your name has been associated with a certain franchise. Coming up on Wild Card Weekend, any particular team you like?
Like you said, I've not followed teams. I follow my players. I follow them real closely. And, you know, one thing I have had the opportunity over the last 15 years is get to know the GMs and some of the coaches and really appreciate how some do their job. You know, I'm a big fan of the Sean Payton and New Orleans Saints. I think the way they go about their business, you know, they have a bunch of our players. Bill Belichick, well, they're not in it, but the Saints are one that I've gotten very close with. Obviously, Mike Vrabel, the Tennessee Titans, was on my staff. And I know exactly how he runs his organization. And so those are just two that it's more about people. I don't really look at the teams.
Somebody asked, and we'll get to Ask Urban next here. Somebody asked about, what does Urban do? What's his days like now? You're not doing Fox, right now. Do you have plan to do that in the future? What does Urban do? Does he play tennis? Does he play golf? What's your typical day like for this person who wants to know?
Well, I'm still very involved in TV just because of this national channel. I'm on Big Ten Network. We do Fox is doing a preview show tomorrow for the game. I do work out quite a bit. Tennis and golf are my two hobbies. And then grandkids, family, and taking care of myself is the other one. And doing the best I can, being a dad and a grandfather.
Mm-hmm. Great things for a grandfather. Okay, you ready for some Ask Urban?
Sure.
Okay, got to pull out all my notes here that I had earlier. People asking about a lot of questions about coaches today. Let's see what there were. This comes from Shaker Heights is right near Cleveland, right? I think, yeah. Comes from Ray in Shaker Heights about coaching prospects. Now, I don't know what you know. What do you think of Jamie Chadwell of Coastal Carolina as a future coach for a Power Five?
Well, the one thing about the coaching profession, it's very evaluation friendly. You know, there's some professions that I've learned over the years and even in corporate America, et cetera, that are very hard to evaluate. Coaching's not. Coaching's very easy. You look at the scoreboard. You look at the fundamentals of the team and the performance of the team, and it's all, you know, very easy to evaluate. And so I don't know him. I watched his teams this year. I seen him talk a couple times after a game. I think he's an up-and-comer. And why? Because he wins. He took a place. I never heard of Coast Carolina's baseball team.
Yeah,
I never heard of them before. Yeah, and now all of a sudden you're just seeing them play, and they're not a fluke. I mean, they're really good. They're a really good team. He must be a really good coach, and of course he'll be a name that everybody's going to keep an eye on.
And you could speak to this. This is my follow-up question. At being at Bowling Green, trying to go the next level up, getting people to trust your ability, et cetera, how hard is that for a coach trying to make his name?
Well, I have a great story when I was at Bowling Green, and what happens is headhunters call you. So the coach doesn't actually call, or the AD doesn't call you, because they're really not allowed, or they're not, you know, they're not supposed to make contact with you. And so I have headhunters. And I remember I was at Bowling Green, and I didn't, you know, I just was worried about Bowling Green. And I started getting these phone calls from these search firms. And one was to Michigan State. And then the search firm called me about 2 weeks later and said, "Coach, we made a decision going another direction. And thanks for your time." I said, "Okay, no problem." And he said, we're just looking for a tier one coach." And I was like, "Well, what the hell am I?" You know, that's, you take that kind of personal, you know. And so that's what happens in the coaching profession. But I'll never forget that when they said, "Yeah, you don't quite fit the tier one we're looking for." And then you get kind of, you know, just because we're all competitors, and it's, okay, tell me exactly what a tier one coach is, because if I'm not that, you know, what do I need to work on to get there? So that's what happens in the coaching profession. You start, you know, people start going after you. And that's what happened to Dan Mullen when we started winning at Florida, Mississippi State, of all places. Here's a guy from New Hampshire. And they called Dan, and I remember telling Dan, I said, "Dan, you're from New Hampshire. You're going to go to Starkville, Mississippi. Be careful." And he did a great job there, because he's a great coach.
Interesting. The other names that are being tossed about these days for openings are, as you know, addition to Chadwell, who's a hot guy. Obviously, Hugh Freeze, Lane Kiffin. You know, he's pretty happy there, but if they had the right job, came along. And Matt Campbell, who I think you know a little bit about. So, any thoughts about any of those three guys? Hugh Freeze and Lane, they got baggage. We know that. And it has to be worked through. But Matt Campbell looks like a very promising upcoming coach. Your thoughts about him?
Oh, I love Matt. He's an Ohio guy. He's from northeastern Ohio, where I'm from. He was cut his teeth at Mountain Union, one of the great programs in Division III. I know Matt very well. Talk to him every year. He's a fundamental coach. He's believes in playing the game the way it's supposed to be played. And that's with great defense, control the line of scrimmage, and minimizing turnovers. You know, it's kind of a formula that has worked for as long as the game of football has been played. So great. And on top of that, a great person.
Okay. Carl in Reno ask, would Bob Stoops coach again?
Bob Stoops is a great friend. We've talked about it. He did that XFL. I think that's what it was called. Mm-hmm. And they really enjoyed it. You know, I don't know. I know him, but I have not asked him that recently. As of last year, he had no desire, but he's still, you know, we're close to the same age, and there's, you know, you have your health, you know, his father did die of a heart attack. And I know that played a little, you know, I don't want to get too personal about his business, but you know, he's in a great place. He's a great person and a good friend.
Yeah. What's it like for you guys, you know, who you and Coach Spurrier and Bob Stoops, who have the great success, and you still get, and I won't ask you any personal questions about any particular job, but I just want to know, what's it like for you and Bob? Because I didn't even think about Bob until someone brought it up. And I said, I don't think he'd want to coach again, but maybe I'm wrong. I can't speak for Bob Stoops. Urban Meyer, Steve Spurrier said he'd love to have a job as a coordinator someplace on one of these spring leagues. What about guys who are saying, well, I'd like to, but I really shouldn't? And what's that like going through that?
Well, you reach the point in your life, and Bob Stoops made the decision because he wanted his own time. You know, he, you know, family. There's a lot of. I'm a person. I've never looked at myself as a football coach. That was what I did. You know, that didn't define me. And you know, unfortunately, it becomes that because you become so consumed with it. When you start spending 15 times the amount of time with players and an organization, and to do your own family, that, for some people, that's okay. For other people, that really bothers it. That's well documented. That ate me alive at Florida, among other things. That, you know, here's my daughter. I have other things, other interests. And does that mean I don't love the game of football? I didn't say that. But there's other people, that's it. You know, their family situations might not be very good or whatever is going. And that, once again, that's everybody else's business. Everybody has the right to do whatever they want to do. But I know Bob Stoops is, his family means the world to him. He has two kids playing college football. He's got an incredible marriage and wife, and his time means a lot to him. And so, but there's others that everything else is put on second, you know, secondary compared to that. And I was very cautious of that. And I crossed that line a couple of times, well documented. I felt like I let that get in the way of, you know, doing the things I had to do. I grew up with a great father, never missed a game. and I was missing all kinds of stuff. And that, you remember that, that, yeah, that really, that bothered me.
I do remember it quite well. And by the way, Bob did an excellent job of finding his successor, as you pointed out earlier.
And there's another thing, buddy, that some people don't understand that. And that's, once again, everybody's got free will, you know, whether it be a sports writer or whether it be a fan. And I don't understand why. Well, that's okay. It's, that's that person's decision. And that's person's choice. No one's really asking you, you know, for you to understand, you know, that's, is what, you know, we don't get involved with Buddy Martin's business. You know why? I guess that's up to Buddy Martin. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Final one. This just popped up. I didn't catch it when it happened. This is from Bubba in Gainesville. Says, what happened to Doc Holliday?
Oh, man. Yeah, Doc was winning. I got Coach of the Year. We all love Doc. I saw that as well. And by the way, his receiver coach is Dallas Baker. And Dallas and I are still very close. And, boy, they were having a good year. So I think they started 7-0 and got ranked in the top 20. So I don't know if it was just time. He's been there a long time. But I'm not quite sure. At some point, I'll reach out to him.
Yeah, just kind of shocking. Well, enjoy the game on Monday night. You get to root for somebody, and you don't have the responsibility. Although, knowing you, Urban, I'm sure you do have the responsibility. Good luck to the Buckeyes.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
Take care, brother.
All right, Coach Urban Meyer, he'll step aside for a second while we just introduce our next podcast coming up. Coach Urban Meyer joins us every week on the best Fridays in football. Up next is Terry Bradshaw. He's got some comments about the NFL wildcard weekend right here on the best Fridays in football on the Evergreen Podcast Network. And now, okay, here's the star of the show. Terry. Is that better?
Okay, that's a little better. Right. Not nearly what I expected, but better.
I'll work on it. You got to get packed up and go.
Listen, write this down so you don't forget it.
Hold on.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, star of stage and screen.
Hang on. Star of stage.
Four-time Super Bowl champion screen. Quarterback.
Was it four times or three? Was it four or three? I forget.
Voted by Tractor Magazine as the sexiest 72-year-old in America.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
That's it.
How are you, Terry?
I'm good. I'm a little tired today, and I'm busy, and then I told Tammy I'd take her fishing. And she just came inside. She said, it's raining. So I've got to take the family to the airport, and then we were going fishing. I'll fish in the rain. And she's too. But I've got some serious reservations about this.
Yeah, you got to be serious. You got to be serious fisherman. Yeah. Do you have the lake in front of your house now, or is it where you
going? We'll fish the one in front of the house. My brother and I went there yesterday.
Catch anything?
54 bass.
What?
54 bass in 2 hours.
Wow.
And the day, New Year's Day, we went. No, not New Year's Day. Saturday, because I left late for L.A. We went fishing, and we caught 60. How do I know? Because we count them, because we have a contest. So in two fishing trips, you know, that's 114 bass or something. So, yeah, that's pretty crazy.
You know? It's crazy. Well, that's good stuff if you got that going on. Hey, listen, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about football. I know sometimes we do that, and sometimes we don't.
Yeah.
But it's okay with me. But since we do have the playoffs going on, and I know you haven't you haven't been doing your studying, but you still know what's going on. Let me ask you first: how's everything going on with the show? How are things with Jimmy and Howie and Kurt and what's the other guy's name? Oh yeah,
Michael Strahan.
Yeah,
I Michael. And
I'm just Gonzalez. I'm just kidding, Dyke, a little bit. So all right. So now everything good?
Yep, everything's good.
Good.
No complaints.
Yeah, you guys got it going on, man. I tell you, it's a good show. And I said this.
I don't know what I think. It's all about ratings with these networks, and we outdistance everybody by. We're down this year, but we beat everybody by 45%. We normally, before I got sick, we were up at 50-something percent over every 52% of everybody, and that's impressive. You know, buddy, dealing on television, the first thing they do, man, it's Tuesday. They run to see what the ratings are. So it was pretty cool that.
That's great.
27 years,
man. Who knew? Well, we went.
This bunch of men has a pretty good following with the football world, which is nice.
They're football guys. That's good. So congratulations on that. And let's get right to the games, and we'll talk a little football. I just give you my top of mind real quick. I like this little Buffalo team. I like this little Buffalo team. They're fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I like their offense.
Right.
Their favorite over in the Indianapolis, who's, by the way, a pretty good team. So you want to give me a couple of picks here? You want to pick them all? How about Andy Buffalo? As I said,
I think up in Buffalo, being the number two seed, which is what Buffalo is, I don't think Phillip Rivers and the Colts can beat Buffalo up there. Now,
nice team.
To all our listeners out there, you don't know, if you go back to the Houston playoff game last year, Buffalo did not play well, especially Allen. He has matured and really taken that offense. He's really adjusted. He's grown up. He looks comfortable. I expect him to play like he's been playing. And eventually, I think it should come down to somebody lays an egg, and it always happens. You know, it could be Pittsburgh, Cleveland. Cleveland could be Pittsburgh. Anything can happen. Who's going to be Baltimore? But I think it'll probably come down, buddy. I think all the football world would love to see Buffalo, Kansas City. And that's awesome, if you ask me.
Be a nice story. And then we get to Seattle's playing a team called Larry, I guess. Oh, wait a minute. That's Los Angeles Raiders. I get that mixed up. They've changed it. I thought it was Larry for a minute.
Know.
Seattle is a 3.5-point favorite over Larry. Any thoughts there?
Well, they split during the regular season. Rams won one. Seattle won one. They sacked Russell Wilson something like 12, 13 times in those two contests. So, they have the ability to, as you well know, with their defensive front, to get after the quarterback. Now, the offensive line is healthy for Seattle, and they've been together the last 5 weeks. So that is going to be great, you know, for the pass protection. Russell Wilson has been good versus the blitz when people come after him, send safeties and so forth. He's pretty good at avoiding that and getting rid of the ball. That's a smart football thing. DK Metcalf on the outside. I mean, they've got talent everywhere. And I would expect Seattle to win that game.
All right. You like Seattle?
Over the Rams. Plus, Goff isn't out or is that?
Who knows?
He wasn't that good when he had a good thumb. Yeah. Now he's got a screw in it. Hmm. And a pin, and he's going to play. Are you kidding me?
I
don't even know the other kid. I don't even know who the backup is that played last.
I don't either. I got to look it up.
I don't have any notes or anything.
It's all right. We don't need.
Quite honest with you, buddy. I haven't even started studying.
I know. Today. I said that when we started out. I understand this is cold. So we don't expect you to be. Just give me the winners, okay? So far you give me Buffalo and Seattle. Right. I want some of Terry's money.
Right.
We want some of Terry's money. Yeah. You always talk about your money. Who's that guy who comes on looking like Howie with the fake crew cut and said, "Oh, that's you."
Yeah.
So you give us Buffalo and you're giving us Seattle, and now we got a team we care about in Florida, and has been interesting. And the other day, Bruce Arians said Tom Brady has played better than expected. So they are 8-point favorites over the Washington Football Club. That game is the third game Saturday. Give me your thoughts about that, 8:15 on NBC.
Is the game in Washington?
Game is in Washington, yes.
Yeah, because they won the division, And Tampa Bay did not. So I don't think what you're going to have, pretty good Buccaneer defense. And you're going to have a real good Redskin defense. If Smith stay healthy.
Great story.
I think Washington can upset Tampa Bay. That might be one of those. Yeah. But I think it can happen. They're that interesting. Don't forget that one year when the Giants went to Dallas and they were massive underdogs and they beat Dallas. Then they go up to Green Bay and massive underdogs. They beat Green Bay, and they were a wild card team. And they went on to beat New England in Arizona in the Super Bowl. So that's why in playoffs, we get easily too caught up in the stats and Tom Brady. And listen, rightfully so. I'm as guilty as anyone, but I'm a firm believer in defense. And we have seen early in the season, Brady had trouble. They couldn't pass protect him. And he's going nowhere. You get through, he's just going to crumble to the ground. He's got no athletic ability at all. I mean, he can't run, okay? But they are throwing the ball deep, which is what Bruce Arians like. He wanted to throw the ball deep. We all expected two tight ends. I did. A lot of crossing routes and so on and so forth. When you look at the offensive talent now with Antonio Brown in Tampa Bay, now Mike Evans is out.
Yeah,
they may say he's going to play, but I saw him get up, and I saw that knee bow, and you don't come back from a knee sprain in 1 week. So I don't think Mike Evans will play, and I believe that Gronk will be huge in this game, and then they'll try to squeeze in Antonio Brown. Offensively, this Tampa Bay team is fun. And Tom, I'm telling you right now, I've never in my life seen anybody like Brady. A guy that took marginal talent and turned it into the greatest quarterback that ever played in the NFL as of right now, based on winning. And based on winning, it's not like, is there anything else?
Yeah.
And I think he has made himself an incredible quarterback. He's very smart. I love his delivery. I love his footwork. He's always got his left foot in the proper place. I marvel at how well he plays and how young he plays. Does that make sense?
He's 43. He plays like he's 35.
43?
No.
And he's coming back next year at 44. Yeah. And if he plays well, he'll probably come back at 45.
George Blend all over again. Remember George Blend?
Yeah. So, But having looked in the NFC, I would pick Tampa Bay over Washington.
Okay, so you're giving me you're giving me Buffalo, you're giving me Seattle, and you're giving me Tampa Bay, but do they cover the 8? That's what I want to know. I want some of Terry's money.
Do they cover what?
The 8 points. 8 points.
8 points?
Yeah.
Yeah, they cover.
They cover 8 points. Okay. There you have the winners. I'm going to check them off right now. And I know you only got one game. I'm going to go right now and make my picks. You guys have the big Los Angeles – a Seattle game on your network. Yeah. So here we go. Winner, Buffalo. Winner, Seattle. And
shut
winner.
Up!
Which one is that, Annie?
The whole herd. Is that you?
Door and all 10 dogs went ballistic on
me. Oh my goodness. Okay. All right, Terry, I'm gonna get you out of here.
I apologize.
I know you gotta go. I'm gonna get you out of here.
Yeah.
But I want to get through the Sunday games, although you guys don't have a game, ABC, CBS, and NBC. But quickly, we won't spend a lot of time, except there is a certain Browns fan who really wants to talk about that game. Let's real quick, Baltimore, Tennessee. Tennessee's getting 3 points. The game is in Nashville.
Baltimore, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, the defense in Tennessee is up and down here lately. Nobody, as I made a point, or tried to make a point Sunday, nobody wants to see Baltimore Ravens. And I'm going to pick the Ravens.
All right. You got the Ravens there. You're laying the 3 points.
You got to stop Henry. You got to stop. I want Tennessee to win.
Do you?
But I'm going to pick the Ravens. Yeah.
All right. You're going to pick Ravens. All right. All right. So now one of your teams is New Orleans. It looks like they got the QB back this in time.
I'm going to pick New Orleans. Who they got?
Chicago in New Orleans. Chicago is being pretty darn good right now, but not good enough to stop those guys.
Mm-mm. No. And I put my reputation on the line at Fox last week, and I just decided I would – really, really go all in on Mitchell Trubisky. And I was extremely disappointed. And my whole point in that game was, hey, Mitch, this is the one time in your life where you have to be the reason the Bears won. And he was just much the reason they lost. So moving on, Saints Field.
Yeah, you know what? That sounds like it'll be a movie. Going all in on Mitchell Trubisky. That just has a name to it. All right, so this is the one I want to spend a little time on. It's an NBC game. It's a nightcap. It's a team called the Cleveland Browns. I guess a team called the Pittsburgh Steelers. And my executive producer, by the way, who was a big Cleveland fan, and you sort of dissed him earlier this year when he brought up the Browns, and he said he was going to get even with you. So, Andy, this is your apology from Terry that the Browns are underdogs by 6. What a good story the Browns are if we get past this COVID thing. So the Steelers play at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's a 6-point favorite. Ben's playing pretty good against them.
The Browns play at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, what did I say? Browns. I thought I said Browns.
Steelers.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That is the team. Okay. The Cleveland Browns play at Pittsburgh against the Steelers. Are a 6-point underdog in the AFC wildcard playoff game. It'll be 34 degrees, and the over-under, I think, is 47.5. Is that enough information? Did I get it right?
Yeah. That's good. I mean, I don't care anything about Cleveland. They're going to get beat in Pittsburgh.
Mason Rudolph, same as the former golfer, Mason Rudolph.
He will. And they almost beat him in Cleveland without Ben, and they risked some people. So, and Cleveland had to win to get in. So, I'm not giving Cleveland any chance to beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. Ain't going to happen in my lifetime.
Just don't like those Browns. Some people would say you had like a little grudge to hold against Turkey Jones and others there in past years. But no. We wouldn't say
No, not at all. I have nothing but admiration for the job that Stefanski's done there as head coach for Cleveland.
So, it's hard to know the coaches. I can't name them all. It's hard to know all the coaches anymore. They all got different names.
I know. Not exactly. But I do like the job that he's done.
Yeah.
But listen, I bleed black and gold, so I would never pick.
No, I understand.
Cleveland over Pittsburgh, no matter if Pittsburgh hadn't won a game.
I think disrespect. I think they just want you know, some respect for their quarterback and their team. And it's been a long drought.
I like Baker Mayfield.
First time in 18.
I like Mayfield. Yeah. I like Chubb.
Yeah.
I mean, they do a really good job there. Their defense is really good. Yeah. So I have nothing but good thing. I have great respect for Cleveland.
Okay.
But and Pittsburgh is not always going to dominate. And this, you know, Ben's got another year. He said he's going to play again. I just have a hard time saying, okay, fine.
Right. I got you.
So
I'm feeling
can it. Cleveland beat this? Well, they just beat them the other day.
Yeah.
So yeah, they can beat them.
Yeah, okay. But you're picking Pittsburgh. So let me go over your picks again real quick, which is you like Buffalo over Indianapolis. You like Seattle over Larry. I'm sorry. Seattle over Los Angeles Raiders. You like Washington. You like Tampa Bay. Yeah. I wasn't sure on that Washington pick. Did you take the Redskins? You didn't pick them, didn't you?
No, I took Tampa Bay.
Okay, you reversed that. You thought about it, but you changed your mind.
No, buddy. I never did. I never picked Washington.
Well, I thought I checked off Washington. Well, I'm glad I asked because I had checked off Washington.
Yeah.
Then you got Baltimore over Tennessee, New Orleans over Chicago, and Pittsburgh over Cleveland. Am I correct, though? Is that right? How much should I put on each game of your money?
With my money?
Yeah.
$1,000.
$1,000. All right. I'm taking your picks for $1,000 each. $6,000. And I might be a little short if you get my feeling, my drift. Terry,
that's a little too inside, but that's fine.
That's okay. Terry, it's always great to have you on. Thanks for being on the podcast. Best Fridays in football this week. We got some NFL games. You take care of yourself. I hope we'll talk next week, and maybe I have a whole bunch of money, a little money that I'm going to get a year. So but you can go on Fox, but I can find out what we mean, Terry's money. Have a great trip, TB.
Okay, buddy.
Thanks to all these people for making the Best Fridays in football possible. Gator Bait Lighthouse Builders, Truth, Honor, and Dignity, Dr. Jim Duke, Sissy Long, Lauren Meadows, Jeffrey Melvin of Meldon Law, Max Steen, former Gator captain, Jeff Ulmer, the Ocala Quarterback Club sponsor of the Scott Brantley Trophy, Mike McGinnis, captain, Dr. and Joey Sorrentino, Renstar Medical Research, and Diane Palmer in memory of Whit Palmer Jr. We hope you're enjoying the Best Fridays in the Football podcast with Urban Meyer and Terry Bradshaw on the Evergreen Podcast Network. On behalf of Director Brendan Martin, I'm Buddy Martin, and you've been listening to one of the Best Fridays in Football on the Evergreen Podcast Network.
Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.